We're going to hear from God's Word in the Bible from Matthew chapter 5.
The Sermon on the Mount. One day as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start with a question, and I don't want you to tell me the answer, okay, for reasons that will become clear. A couple of weeks ago in church, I was suggesting that it would be good to take time out and to go away on your own where nobody knows about it, and to spend time in prayer to God and not tell anybody. You see why it would completely defeat the purpose of the question if I was to ask you to say if you were doing it or not. Jesus says if you do it to impress other people, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. The reward goes to those who genuinely are seeking God. And one of the signs that we're genuinely seeking God is that we don't need other people to see what we do. We don't have any desire to impress people. But if the answer to the question is yes, then I would very much encourage you to hold on to what Jesus promised, that when we do these things, your Father in heaven will reward you. I mean, maybe you have actually seen some sort of obvious reward in the last couple of weeks. If so, fantastic. Praise God. If not, keep going. The Father wants us to draw close to him. And if you have been trying it, don't give yourself a score out of 10 for how well you're doing. It's not a matter of how well you're doing. It's not a matter of how good you are at praying. The first thing is you did it. The first thing is that you actually took that time. And if you didn't do it, like, don't switch off and start feeling guilty or anything like that, because that's not going to help at all. But do be encouraged. You have a Father who longs to spend time with you. And carving time out of busy schedules can be a very difficult thing to do. But there's the promise of Jesus. We will be rewarded if we do it. And this morning, I want us to think about this line from the Lord's Prayer that talks about your kingdom come. When Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, this isn't quite so obvious in some of our translations, but when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, he's talking about prayer as we come together as a church and where the focus of that prayer should be. The focus is the kingdom of God. The focus is God extending his rule upon the earth. So here is Jesus, as we read from Matthew chapter 5, he's up on a mountainside. He's drawn his disciples or his apprentices near to him, and he wants to teach them that they are key to advancing the kingdom of God. If God's rule is to come on the earth, it's going to come through them. It's not going to come through God sort of doing a massive announcement in the sky or anything like that. It's because these people understand what the kingdom of God is about And they're committed to it. They're working towards it. In chapter 7, Jesus will say, seek first the kingdom. You can't serve God and money. Don't make that the priority in your life. What matters is seeking to bring about God's government on the earth. And in these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is spelling out what a group of people look like who are committed to this kingdom. The Lord's Prayer is there for people who are crying out to God that His rule happens on His earth. And groups of people who care about what is happening, not just on the big worldwide scale, but locally for them as well. So Matthew chapter 5, as we read, has got these incredible promises in them. Blessed are the meek, as it says in some of the translations. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not just about me and the individual things in my life, although God cares very deeply about them. It's about something that is worldwide. And Jesus says, when you come together, first of all, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, pray to God as your Father. Get to know His utter love and His utter care for you and for the world. That's how prayer begins. But let that turn into a passion that this world is not as it should be and it needs to change. It really doesn't take a lot of effort to show that this world is not as it should be, but it is perhaps just worth taking a moment or two to think about the fact that tomorrow is the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And that place of hell shows how low the human race can sink. It's hard to believe that in about 4 years, 6 million Jewish people were murdered by the Nazis and their collaborators. That's what we human beings, people like us, are able to do. And the tragic thing is that looking at the church in Germany at the time when all this was happening, there were very few churches that dared to stand out against Hitler and what he was doing. There were a few. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one name of somebody who comes to mind who really sought to oppose Hitler, but there weren't many. And we see the evil, and we cry out to God, God, let your kingdom come. And the group that's putting together for the Holocaust Memorial Day tomorrow wants us to remember, and rightly so, that this is not something that's in the past. Anti-Semitism is still a big force in our world and in our country today. So let's remind ourselves today that Jesus was a Jew, and the vision of the kingdom of God that he had was a Jewish vision. And all of the first generation of his disciples were Jews. In the second generation, that changed. But in the first generation, they were all Jews. The heroes of the Christian faith from that time, Peter, Paul, Philip, Andrew, James and John, all of those people, they were all Jewish people. How did we get so sick that we lost that? They also want us to remember that genocide in the world is not restricted to that. And there are several other genocides that they want to be remembered. The Cambodian one. Millions of people died under the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. There isn't an exact figure. Thousands were executed, but the number who died through starvation, disease, and exhaustion was far, far higher, millions. Rwanda, in 100 days, 1 million people died in a genocide, 1994. Bosnia, it was the Muslims who were the victims in the town of Srebrenica. Darfur, in Sudan, black African people being attacked. When we cry for the kingdom to come, we start with a picture of how the world really is. We start recognizing that human beings can do atrocious things. And here is Jesus, up on a mountainside with a small number of people and telling them, if you get this right, you can take the world. But we're going to do it in a way that is completely different to anything that anybody has seen before. I mean, the other issues that we need to look at today include the environmental issues. Got a message from Tear Fund this week, talking about what they call the forgotten hunger that there is in Southern Africa at the moment. It's not making the news. But it's reckoned that in Southern Africa at the moment, there are 45 million people who are in danger of starvation. And it's a combination of environmental factors and mismanagement and conflict that has caused this. And they asked the question in the briefing, you know, is global warming to blame? And the answer to the question is, well, we're not. You can't say that any individual tragedy was caused by global warming. But it is almost certain that global warming is making it more likely. There's a reason that we're hearing more about these things nowadays. It's not just that they are better reported. And we cry out to the Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. This is a huge prayer. The Lord's Prayer will go on to talk about us and our needs. And we need to bring them before God. Jesus says, your Father knows about these things. But prayer is partly about us getting a big vision of what God wants to do within the world. Jesus calls his church so that things can be different. And we can't change everything. We can't change the mind of our government. And as that story I told earlier suggests, you know, praying for things can be a dangerous thing. You don't always get the outcome that you wanted at the time. But Jesus says the people who are honored in the kingdom, the people who feed the hungry, the people who visit the sick, the people who tend those who are in need, the people who clothe those who have nothing. And Jesus says they will be the people who are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has quite a bit to say about judgment, but there's a really important point to make here. That when Jesus talks about judgment in the Sermon on the Mount, he's not saying, you've got these horrible enemies, God is going to judge them. He says the precise opposite. He says God loves them. He says, if you want to be like God, which is what the Sermon on the Mount is about, then you must love your enemies. You must pray for those who persecute you. Because God is a God who sends his sun to shine on people, whether they are good or bad, and God lets the rain fall on people. Oh, not sure that's relevant this morning, Sylvia. But God lets his rain fall on both those who are good and those who are bad. Now, what he's talking about is about his people getting it right. And who will be recognized as those who are actually bringing the kingdom in? And Jesus says, follow my way, because if you do, you're like a wise person who builds their house upon the rock. If you don't, you're like a foolish person who builds their house upon the sand. And that house will certainly fall. So in prayer, we are holding in our minds and before God this incredible vision of what the world should be. Of course, praying about it hopefully motivates us to actually go and to do something different about it. This was Jesus' message. Repent. Change your way of thinking, because the kingdom of God has drawn near. If Jesus has come, There is the possibility of something new. And if Jesus has come to us, there's that possibility. Again, in Matthew chapter 4, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent or change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus goes about the area, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And everybody who heard him thought that they knew what he meant. They were under Roman occupation. They were under this evil empire. And whereas in some branches of history you might think the Romans were a good thing, it certainly didn't feel that way to a Jewish person of that time. For them it meant taxation. It meant struggling to live the way that they want to live. It could mean hunger. And it could mean a horrible death by crucifixion for anybody who dared to stand up against the oppressive power. Jesus says, look, I'm showing you something different. But it's so different. And the importance of prayer in all of this is that we are able to come to God, to pray your kingdom come, and to pray about all of these issues. And God hears us. And one of the things that we find happening is that God starts to shape us. God starts to make us so we think differently. Things that didn't used to bother us now start to bother us. Things that might worry us, well, maybe they don't worry us so much, and yet we're still motivated that something has to be done. And there were people around who had an idea of what would bring about the kingdom. There was this group of people called the Pharisees. We won't go into them this morning. But Jesus was saying about the Pharisees, it's not good enough. You've got to be better than them. Your righteousness has to be a division above what theirs is like, if this kingdom is going to come and if you want to be part of it. And Jesus tells stories about the gradual growth of a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God is like sowing a seed into the ground. And the growth comes gradually. And some bits which look optimistic that they're going to grow into something wonderful don't. But others do. And something happens which is so much more than anything that we could have anticipated. Jesus talks about people coming from all directions, from the east and the west, and taking their places at a great feast, which we make a small attempt at doing this morning, in taking bread and wine together. And he says they will take their place in this feast in the kingdom of God. There are lots of other stories, we won't go into them all, of stories which make the point of Jesus saying, when you pray for the kingdom come, expect it to start small and then to grow. You see, if we are to be part of this kingdom, if we want to be part of what God wants to do in this world, something has to happen to us. That's why it's so important that we pray. It's why it's so important that we are sending deliberate signals to God that he wants to work within us. You see, because the problem is that revolutions, as the world sees them, don't work. You have a horrible oppressive regime. People rise up, they attack it, they take over, and then they just become as bad as what was there before. If there's to be real change, it has to come deep in the hearts of the people. And it's quite something to think, well, does little old me matter here? Is what God is doing in my heart actually important for the whole of the world? And the answer is God thinks it is important. God thinks that you have impact. God thinks that I have impact. And God loves it when we seek his face and when we want him to know that we want to be with him. So we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we find ourselves being caught up into something that's so much bigger than anything that we could have thought of. But we're there. May God help us to learn to pray. I haven't really mentioned the line about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But I know how Jesus expected that the name of the Father would be honored. Through prayer, because we ask for it, yes. But more, because people look and they see the church. And they see who we are. And they see a group of people being shaped by God and they say, there's something going on there. So we're going to come to pray now. And we're going to try this morning to do some big praying. So I think probably what we need to do...